Lombardi line, there's some rumors coming in that Josh Applebaum Prevolone has butchered his face. That means he's going through a breakup or he's losing a lot of bets. We'll get to him coming up in a little bit. I'm Patrick. I'm live from the VEASAN studios here at the South Point. What's cracking, Michael Lombardi there, Ocean City, hanging out with Bill Berman. Happy birthday, Bill.
Happy birthday, Bill. The Eagles are going to the Super Bowl. Did you see that performance last night?
Yes.
I mean, is there anything that wasn't as obvious as how great the Eagles are? I mean, they're back, Patrick. They're back. Brandon Graham says that that sack fumble has propelled them into the future. It's the greatest thing about living in Philadelphia. They're back. They're back. They're going to the Super Bowl. Book it. What are the odds? Steph, what are the odds of Super Bowl? What do we got? I'm betting on them right now. Well, I'm going to tell Thomas Gable on Saturday. I can't wait. How are we?
I'm doing great. Well, updated NFC East odds at BetMGM. They have now leapfrogged
the
Cowboys.
East. The East is easy.
Oh, okay. You're going
the East
to the
is
bowl.
Easy for the Eagles.
Straight to Tampa Bay.
Right for the bowl. I mean, look, when you can design a play with the creativity that fourth down play to throw to the end zone that they didn't go completely berserk on. Like, let's see, if I were sitting in my office on a Tuesday night and I said, what could I come up with that's really creative that could really challenge a defense? Let's see, I'll put a former wide receiver who's got really bad hands that the Cardinals cut, who we're trying to make it a tight. I'll put him out at wide receiver and line him up out there. And then I'll throw an alley-oop to him. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. So there it is. Eagles bet, 61. Piece of cake. I'm betting. All right, I'm going to take all my confirmation money and bet it on that. There's no doubt.
Okay, Venmo me. I'll go right to the book behind me after the show. You just Venmo it. I'll hook you up. Whatever the amount is, we learned you made $5 million yesterday, so we can. I'm sure you can afford it.
Yeah, right.
A couple of things here. Of course, a 22-21 win. That missed two-point conversion makes the total stay under, obviously, the 44.5. But it was an 18-yard strike to Boston Scott. And that was, just so many layers to this game that we can get into, but it was a winner for the Eagles. They don't cover the five.
Yeah, and I went against my line yesterday. My line was dead on ack. I had it as a 4-point game, and I should have taken it. I had it as a pick. Excuse me, I had it as a pick'em game. My power rankings had the Eagles had the Giants as the higher ranked team, which ended up, even though they didn't win, it was obviously clearly a game. The Giants typically don't score 21 points. Look, both teams are bad. I mean, I'm kidding about the going to the Super Bowl. Both teams are bad. The Eagles think they're going to get some guys healthy. Every game they play, they lose two or three players. And I don't know what's going on with Carson Wentz. I mean, sometimes he looks good, and sometimes I just wonder, what is he doing out there on the field? It's just so hard to predict. But, the East is so easy to be taken. I think that ultimately you're going to see a bad team win the East. I think that's not too hard to say.
You know, it's interesting because Josh texted us and you said, you know what, my numbers pointed to the Giants. And I know you so well now that when you made your play at the end of yesterday's show, I was like, I caught him in a weird spot and you felt like you had to give a pick, but I could tell you weren't really into your Eagles pick. It was weird. You're like, I'll go Eagles, but it was against your number.
Yeah.
It was against your number.
It was always, my numbers have been 10-4 the last 3 weeks, and I've gone against them numerous times this year, and I'm not doing it ever again. I swear I'm not. I'll probably do it this weekend. But I mean, look, it's like, the reality of it is, if you're going to have power rankings, it's going to be ugly, and you're going to have to wear your hazard suit, and you're going to have to go with some of those sharps and betting that provolone on it at times. And I like it when I'm with the sharps. I really do. I like it with my number in the sharps, but that was a case where it was. But I just felt like Philly, they had DeSean Jackson back. They were getting Lane. And I said on the air yesterday, the Giants have played better than the Philadelphia. I think that proved out to be true when you watch the game.
60-1 on the Eagles if you want to make that Super Bowl bet as far as the futures. By the way, if you want to go with the Prevolone and the Sharps, do it in primetime. The Dogs now 15-6. That's a 71.4% clip in primetime games. The Unders now 14-8. That's a little over 63% in primetime games as well, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, look, and if Evan Engram catches that pass, I mean, the game's over and the Giants win it, and the Eagles are licking their chops. I mean, the Eagles just are not a good team right now. They're not good in any phase. Their linebackers are bad. They really don't cover well. I mean, the Giants move the football. Who had Daniel Jones on that option? I mean, seriously, like it was a late, like it was like a part. It was like a clear. It was like, if you're going to take your, you know, if you're going to take your daughter out to teach her how to drive, it was like, there was that much room in there to drive down the lane. It was unbelievable.
Oh, it felt bad for the dude. I bet we've all been there. We get a little ahead of yourself. You start running. He was feeling it. You know, he was clocked. I mean, he's running fast.
He was running out of gas, I think. I think his legs were getting weak. I didn't think he anticipated running that hard. It's like, I think I can. Oh, I can't. You know, and he fell down. And they scored. At least they scored on the play. But, I mean, there's so many plays in that game. The two-point play, the fourth down play. I mean, you got Jalen Hurt on your team. You wasted a second-round pick on this dude. You know, why isn't he in the game running some kind of trick play? You know, the Philly special. I mean, you can't drive by the Philadelphia airport without seeing the Philly special up there. It's still up there 2.5 years later. I mean, it's still up there. You know, you would think the creativity would still be coming back, you know, but it doesn't. I see Stephanie laughing over there. It's true. Nobody, you know, you have to understand it. It's still being celebrated.
He sees her through the mask. By the way, okay, so there's a ton of news and notes I want to get into. The Giants now versus the NFC East. Three games decided by 5 points. And again, let me give you the updated odds as far as BetMGM. The Eagles sitting 2-4-1. They're +110 in division. Second betting favorite, the Cowboys at 2-4, +120. Washington 1-5, 10-1. And the Giants now 1-6, 11-1. Can change so much during. Now, what I'm going to put you on the spot and I'm going to make you be serious. Get that tongue out of your cheek. What impressed you about the Eagles?
Well, their resiliency impresses you. I mean, they have the heart of a champion. They're like the old boxer that knows how to box, that can win rounds late in the fight and come out ahead, but they're never going to beat a champion. I mean, that's who they are. They have the heart of a champion. They just don't have the talent of a champion. And I think that's how you have to look at the Eagles. Okay. They don't give up. They play hard. I mean, Pittsburgh, they had every reason to go in the tank. They did some really dumb things in the Pittsburgh game. The Ravens game, they could have retreated. I mean, Steph, put up their schedule going forward. I mean, they've got another block of games that are hard. But look, you can't even look at their schedule and try to predict, because every game, I mean, this is a team that tied Cincinnati. This is a team that has struggled all season long to be productive on offense, to be productive consistently on offense. So, you know, I think their resiliency is their greatest asset.
Okay. And I will say this, if you look at the numbers for Wentz, it's a little I actually thought he played okay. I know there was a stretch where he was a little rough when he was rolling left and he threw across his body into the end zone. That was a terrible pick, but he's trying to do so much for this team. And I think that sometimes he does trust his arm a little bit too much. We'll throw up the schedule in a bit. I want to ask you the same question though about the Giants. So overall now, what has impressed you about the Giants?
I think the Giants are, I think they are trying to establish what Joe Judge wants to establish, what Joe Judge knows to establish. And by that, I mean, Joe's not an expert on offensive football. He's not an expert on defensive football. He's good in the kicking game. The problems with the Giants show up because their head coach doesn't have a vast level of experience to correct some of the mistakes scheme-wise offensively, scheme-wise defensively. And I think that's what shows up. A lot of people think they're not well coached. I think they happen to have some element of being really well coached. The problem is they're not scheme and they can't make adjustments because the leader, Joe, isn't going to be able to walk into the office and tell the clapper, look, I don't want to run this, or walk down the hall and tell Pat Graham, say, look, we need to do something like this. He's truly just managing these guys and he doesn't have enough knowledge to know what he needs to fix. And I think that's the ultimate problem with the Giants and their lack of talent. I mean, look, they love Julius Peppers. That was the key. I mean, the Peppers kid, that was the key to the Beckham deal. You know, he can't cover Boston Scott down the seam. I mean, you know, seriously, it's just they're not a good team. They're not talented enough.
You know, it hasn't been long enough, but it's confusing me when you actually call him Joe Judge with no nickname. So maybe he's Judy or Wapner, a Judge. Can we do something with that?
Yeah. I mean, I'll have to think. I'll check with Mike Palm's campaign manager, Bill Berman, and see what he comes up with. I mean, because he's the slogan guy. I mean, he's the guy creating the movement. That, I mean, it is a groundswell for Mike Palm. I can't wait till tomorrow till we find out how the groundswell, and when is he going to handle the debate?
Yeah, no, the big mayoral campaign going on for. I check with Mike Palm before I have anything to eat. It's just that important. now there you see the schedule, Michael. Cowboys, week 8 for the Eagles. They go by 9. you know what? They're going to be, they could be okay at Giants, at the Browns. We know the formula for the Browns now. If you get pressure on that quarterback, it's not going to go well. And they do pressure the quarterback.
That's a tough stretch they have.
It does.
From the going to the Giants. I mean, they're no walk to beat the Giants. I mean, they struggle like hell to beat the Giants. So, you know, and then we don't know where they're going to be health wise, but Giants, Browns, Seahawks, Packers, Saints, Cardinals. Wow, that's a hard one. They're not talented enough to walk into any stadium and say, fellas, here we are. We're going to beat you.
Okay, I got to get to some news and notes with you. Of course, we've got four college football games, the Big Ten opening up tonight. We'll get with Josh and get those numbers. Game 3 World Series, which I'm excited about. But I want to throw some things at you here. One, are the Eagles shopping Ertz? They love Goddard. We know this. Goddard injured, though. Ertz seems to be unhappy. You're right there. What's the deal?
Well, I mean, I reported this 2 weeks ago here on VSiN. I talked about it on the GM Shuffle podcast. I love how the Eagles say, we're fielding calls for Zach Ertz. Well, do you have a separate line that's the Zach Ertz line, like when Commissioner Gordon called Batman? Is that the Zach Ertz line? Like, you're fielding calls for Zach Ertz. Seriously, fielding calls? You're making calls. You're asking, hey, do you want Zach Ertz? He's available. You know, they got to get underneath their cap next year, and that's what they're trying to do, and they know they're not going to re-sign Zach Ertz, so they're either going to trade him now or they're going to take the compensatory pick. Now that he's injured, they have no ability to trade him. Kyle Rudolph's in the same boat. I don't think the Vikings are sitting around saying, oh, we have a separate hotline here for Kyle Rudolph. They're not fielding calls. People are making calls to them. They're making calls to teams. They've made it very clear Zach Ertz is available.
I got to give you props, by the way. You had Ngakoue to the Baltimore Ravens. It took one team in between, but you were on top of that.
Yeah. I thought it was the perfect destination for him. Really, I did. I thought that they needed him and he needed them. I mean, it made sense in Minnesota, but with Danielle Hunter injured and Minnesota's cap situation in 2021, I mean, Minnesota really needs to start throwing things off the ship. They need to liquidate quickly because they're going to have a hard time getting below the cap. The same thing with the Atlanta Falcons. They should have a liquidation sale. They should have people out in front of their facility holding those signs, liquidation sale, come on in, you know, because they need to get rid of some people. And they should trade Julio Jones, like, immediately. They should trade Julio Jones immediately.
You know, I had Nick Boyle on my radio show last night. He's a tremendous blocker for Baltimore, and he was going on and on, Michael, about the organization. You think about this organization, kind of gets slept on a little bit. 10 years, Baltimore, they win an average of 9.8 games. That's remarkable consistency that goes under the radar a bit.
No doubt. And look, that next year, of all the teams in the league, right, the Patriots and the Ravens, they're the Colts, the well-run teams have cap room next year. They have cap room next. Now, obviously, the Ravens have to pay up to Lamar Jackson. There's no doubt about that. So that's why they have all this cap room. But when then you look at teams like the Rams, who have no cap room and no depth, you look at the Falcons, who have 32 players on their team next year with no cap room. No cap room.
Right.
I mean, we can't wait till this winter to bet on the under on Atlanta next year.
Minnesota's banged up as far as cap room as well, as you mentioned.
All of them. The Giants are in the same boat too. I mean, the Eagles, one of the reasons the Eagles are redoing players' contracts this year to allow them to get more room next year. All they're doing is they're rolling over their cap. So if you have, say, you have $50 million of cap room this year, you're not spending that this year. You're rolling that into next year's cap so you can have it next year when everybody's a free agent. Like, why would I trade for Kyle Rudolph? The Patriots need Kyle Rudolph as much as any team. Not that he's a great player, but they don't really have a tight end with Ryan Izzo at tight end. They could use a tight end desperately. But why would you give up a high draft pick or a third or fourth round pick for Kyle Rudolph? And then you could basically, they have to cut him next year. And because he's going to be a cap casualty, and then you're going to get a compensatory pick back if he's a free agent. It's risky. So why not just be patient and accept your fate this year? Atlanta should accept their fate this year, but they made the change. Raheem Morris wants to be a head coach, and he deserves to try to be a head coach. I'm not begrudging anybody from that. But from the long-term perspective of the Falcons, his wanting to win games is only going to hurt them from the long-term fix of what they need to do.
Okay, don't go anywhere. I want to ask you about this Raiders situation, but BetMGM Sports, Michael, is Nevada's premier sports betting app. MGM has all your favorite wagering options. Go in-game, boosted odds specials, and more. Stop by an MGM casino on the Strip, bring your state-issued ID, and open up and start placing bets anywhere in Nevada. Again, whatever your style, it's the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM, fan-friendly specials every day of the week. And we're also reporting here at VSiN Live from Mandalay Bay every weekend to bring you analysis of the best games. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years or older, 1-800-522-4700 if you have a gambling problem. Okay, the Raiders. they're going to be without their offensive line. That's no hyperbole. So what's going on here?
Well, that's not true yet. We don't know that. We just don't know that yet until they test. They still have an opportunity to get their to get the line back if they test negative. They won't have Abrams, that's for sure, because his test came in on Tuesday, and he needs 5 days to clear. The lineman might be able to clear. And I would think if they can clear, they'll have them. But they'll have no practice, so you understand that. They'll have no practice whatsoever in terms of being able to execute versus the Bucs team, which I think is starting to play really well. I think the Bucs offensively need to take it up a level, but they are, as a team, as we know, they're playing really well.
And we might get two on Monday or one on Tuesday again, because they moved from the Sunday night. They moved that Raiders game down.
That would be great. I wish they would move it to Monday night, you know, and have two Monday night games. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, so just, again, reporting right now, breaking news coming in, no new positives for the Raiders today. So as Michael says, could be trending upward as far as the Raiders and COVID. We continue here on the Lombardi Line, a number that is sprinting Washington football team's way. We'll get to that next, plus Josh Applebaum as we continue. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. DMV after work, and I downloaded part two of our college football betting guide. And the reason is remember, the Big Ten's back tonight, the Pac-12, Mountain West coming back as well. Now, the only way to get part two of the college football betting guide is to get the whole package. It's only $129 right now. You get point spread weekly, 24/7 live video streaming. You get free picks. Trust me, it's worth it for the free picks, just $129. But really, you got to know what's going on with college football with the conferences starting. So again, that's part two of the college football betting guide. It's not sold separately. It's very easy. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. And I was reminded today when I was downloading Josh's podcast, just go to vsin.com/podcast. It's just one click. It's easy. You become a better. vsin.com/subscribe for everything. We welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi. I do have to go to the DMV, so I also have GM Shuffle, the latest episode. Am I going to be entertained by you at the DMV?
I'm on a rant. You know, I'm usually on one of those rants that you go through.
No way. Michael's ranting about something. Now, here is, I wanted to bring up a game because maybe bettors can get out in front of this as it continues to move in this number. Dallas and Washington, we'll stick with the NFC East. Why not? It's a party. Dallas opened 3.5 there. It's all the way down to a pick 'em. Dallas is 0-6 ATS. No offensive line. The offensive line is going to be in a worse situation than they were against Arizona, where they were pressured and Dalton was pressured constantly. This number is fascinating because Washington, not a very good team, but they're hoping that front breaks out a little bit against an offensive line that's decimated.
Yeah, and they're going to have to do a better job of protecting the quarterback. And I think that ultimately, you know, they need to be able to figure out how they can use the tackles and not let them out there on the island. And that's really an issue for them. So for me, I mean, this is a game that's moved to pick 'em. My line was, you know, when I break this game down, I don't like Washington's offense at all. They struggle. Kyle Allen had moments of playing well, but their offensive line isn't good. But against Dallas, everybody's going to look much better, you know? And so for me, you know, I had this as a 2-point game. The Cowboys should have been favorite. The line came in at right around 3.5. Now it's moving. So, you know, I'm going to stay away, but it's something that I would consider taking. You know, your boy Applebaum's all over Team Washington.
Oh, he'll grow that beard out by the time this game is over. He'll be so excited. He's going to be on. Zach Martin, doubtful. He's their best offensive lineman there. You're just waiting for, as far as pacing, no team is faster than Dallas this year. I mean, they just go. And with the two fumbles, the drops by Zeke, that hurt with it a little bit last week. But it does feel like this is a team that's going to have to slow it down a little bit.
No doubt. I mean, they must get that where they're not worried about. I'm having feedback in my ear, Patrick.
Okay, no problem.
I can't quite hear.
Yeah, no. No problem. We're going to get to take it easy. I'll just sit there for a second. We're going to get it figured out. Michael's getting a little reverb in his ear. But again, that offensive line completely decimated. If you watch the game on Monday night with Arizona, Arizona was in the backfield before the snap. So Dalton really never stood a chance. If you look at his numbers, that was garbage time. And just a team that, as far as pacing, one of the reasons they're putting so much pressure on the defense is because they're just, the defense is constantly on the field. So they've been so explosive. Remember, before Dak got injured, he was passing for over 370 yards per. I mean, the offense has been remarkably efficient. The problem is that means that defense, which has been porous, lacking the ability to adjust, has been on the field constantly because the pacing has just been so, so efficient for Dallas. So you take a look there without that offensive line against Arizona, they had problems. Now, that Alabama wall that is constantly discussed up front with Allen and Payne there in Washington has been a little underwhelming. Okay, so that's one thing. Sweat's been a little underwhelming. We understand that Chase Young's been banged up. But after week one against the Eagles, where they absolutely went off against a decimated offensive front, they really haven't done much. That was a much hyped defensive front there with Washington. You look for them to break out against a Dallas team, of course, with the offensive front that's completely decimated. They're down to one starter on the original depth chart. Now, the other thing you look at as far as Dallas is concerned is just dysfunction. I know McCarthy's tried to say we use this as a teaching moment. Teaching moment is a very much a 2020 buzz term. We're going to use it as literally the team said these guys stink. They can't coach. They can't adjust. Quote, they're just not very good at their jobs. Who are they talking about? As Michael said yesterday, it's not about the offense. Kellen Moore was here last year. Okay, so Kellen Moore in that offense is very efficient. They're talking about Mike Nolan. They're talking about the defense. So you wonder if the dysfunction continues as far as Dallas is concerned. That's part of the reason you've seen the number drop from Dallas laying 3.5 on the road all the way down to a pick'em with a Washington football team that just lost to the Giants. Okay, it's not a very good football team. We continue. We'll get Michael back. Also, Prevalone is here. Josh Applebaum on the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. It is, of course, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You missed anything, go to VSiN.com. Racing fan, First Bet is the place for you, obviously. It's the easiest way to win and bet on your favorite sport with secure payments, attentive customer service, and a reliable website, all brought to you by ExpressBet. Sign up using the promo code Vegas500 today and get $10 free instantly, plus receive up to $500 in bonus wagering. In your first 30 days, visit first.com/bet for more information. That's 1st.com/bet. Don't forget, use the promo code Vegas500. Okay, four college football games, including Wisconsin and Illinois, coming up tonight. You've got a great pitching matchup in game three with Morton and Bueller, of course, Dodgers and the Rays. We welcome you back. Michael Lombardi is here, of course, and we bring in Mr. Prevalone. I was reminded today, of course, you can find Mark. Oh my gosh, it's just visually, it takes me back a little bit. We'll get to him in a second. His podcast.
What is going on up there in Boston? What is going on? I mean, like, why is this? I shave. You know, you're like Doug Peterson. Some 1 minute you go for it on fourth down, the next minute you're kicking field goals. Like, seriously, like, what are you doing up there? 1 minute you got a beard, the next minute you don't. I can't figure out what Doug Peterson's doing. Some minute he's going for it, he's kicking field goals, he's punting. Like, what are you doing up there? 1 minute you have a beard, you don't have a beard. Like, what are you doing?
Josh, I grew up with sisters. When they'd go through breakups, they'd cut their hair. Are you and Elise okay? Because it appears that it might not be going good.
Just want to let you know, guys, everything's going well. Sometimes you got to switch it up. That's what you got to do. And Michael Lombardi, I will tell you this, even though the G-men came up huge for Sharps last night, I don't know if you guys got texts. Our poor guy, Will Hill, had the over 43.5. And if they had just hit any of those extra points or 2-point conversions, he would have hit it. So thoughts and prayers to Will Hill today, not getting his over last night.
He obviously didn't listen to the show. We liked the under yesterday. I mean, I liked the under yesterday. I actually was shocked that the Giants could score 21 points. I was completely shocked. I liked the under. There was a lot of time that I thought the under was going to hit easily, you know, but I feel bad for Will. You know, I didn't hear from him last night, which now makes me clearly understand why. Yeah, now I know why.
You solved
the mystery. Yes, he doesn't want to complain to us because then it becomes popular news. But you were on the Giants. You knew the money was moving in that direction. So good for you, Josh.
Thanks, Michael. Yeah, and hey, you know, kind of what I look at is when you're betting on sports, you're trying to build a case. I always try to think of it as you're a lawyer, you're going to court. Can you make a strong enough case to bet on a game? If you can't, it's worth laying off. So kind of what I liked about the Giants yesterday was just they checked off quite a few boxes. Remember, Michael and Patrick, we talk a ton about divisional dogs. So divisional dogs in these games with a lot of familiarity, knowing the opponent, benefits the team getting points. You also check off the box of contrarian in a heavily bet game when you're betting against the public. You really want to do it in these primetime games with a ton of public action. And then you add in a couple cherries on top here, guys. Like this year, two systems that have really cashed very well. Number one is short road dogs plus six or less. Those are 24 and 12 ATS this year, 67%. And also kind of what I call the COVID road move. This weird year where you really don't have fans in the stands. We saw a couple fans last night, but overall, home field advantage is limited. Instead of 3 points, it's probably closer to like 1.5 maybe this year. But when you see a road move toward a line move toward a road team like the Giants yesterday going plus six down to plus five, those teams are 29 and 16 ATS this season, 64% against the number.
Good job, Josh. Josh Applebaum, of course, Market Insights as the podcast joins us here, as he always does. He's just part of the team on the Lombardi line. Okay, let's do a couple. You know, I want to start with Louisiana Lafayette or just Louisiana UAB, because this is an insane line move. UAB, I think, opened 3, Josh. It's all the way the other way through 0, Louisiana 2. Remember, Louisiana opened 3-0, lost to Coastal. Coastal's now ranked. And the other way, 4 straight for UAB.
Yeah, Patrick, Michael, to me, of all the 4 games in college football tonight, this is the most obvious sharp line move of them all. So the way you're looking at this one, UL Lafayette 3-1, UAB 4-1, but kind of the public perception of these teams is vastly different. Remember last time that UL Lafayette played, they were a favorite. The line moved further in their favor, but they lost that game to Coastal 30-27. They went from like -7 to -9 that game. So public is down on them. They got some bets they didn't cover. Whereas UAB, they started 0-1 and they've won 4 straight, and they blew out Western Kentucky 37-14. They covered that number. They were around -11. But kind of what we're seeing here, guys, is really a massive line move caused by smart money toward UL Lafayette. This game opened, and it's been a complete flip here, where UAB opened as a 3-point favorite at home. Tickets are pretty much split down the middle, slightly favoring UAB. But yet we've seen this line completely move toward Lafayette, where now Lafayette actually got up to 3, and now it's down to 2.5. So that tells me you had a little buyback there, UAB plus 3. But this is kind of a classic dog to fave line move. And remember, you know, average Joe bettors are not causing a dog to fave line move. This is big smart money coming in on Lafayette. You know, I think now you're off the key number of 3, 2.5. Most of the money that I saw come in on Lafayette, you really wanted them either getting points or like -1, -1.5, -2. If you're worried about this number now, you can get a money line. It's a little pricey, but around -140. But Michael Lombardi, what's your cap on this game? You know, is this a good spot to buy low on Lafayette off a bad loss? Obviously, the Sharps are really digging Lafayette in this game.
You know, Josh, I love Billy Napier at Lafayette. I really do. I think he's one of the bright upcoming coaches. I mean, he's going to be up for a lot of jobs this offseason, and I think he's got a tremendous future. But I worry about their quarterback. I mean, when I watch them play, and Billy Napier is a really good offensive coach. But when I watch them play, you know, last year, the young man, Levi Lewis, he did a good job of kind of coming in and playing well. This year, the left-hander is not playing well at all. He's erratic. They can't get any consistency with their offense. And, you know, last week they're supposed to beat Coastal Carolina. That line moved from, 6-10. They couldn't do it. They struggled to win. They're not a good ATS team at all, you know, which is surprising. I mean, they're not a good ATS team. They're not a good ATS team on the road, you know. And so even at home, I mean, and when you break them down, they're only averaging 28 points a game, Josh, which is not typical for a Billy Napier coach offense. You know, it takes them 14.6 yards per play to get a point, right? That's a lot. UAB is actually better than they are at 13.6. So I could see why UAB was the favorite going in. I'm worried about Lewis. That's what concerns me about following this line movement and following this. And I don't know enough about the teams because we haven't seen them all play. That's what I'm concerned about.
Actually, two of the better group coaches, right, Michael? Napier and Bill Clark's doing a good job with that program as well.
Bill Clark's outstanding. I mean, took that program, it went down, he brought it back. Outstanding coach, Bill Clark. And again, you know, when you look at him, I mean, Napier's specialty is offense, and they have struggled really to move the ball. And Lewis can't complete. Lewis has been just so erratic. It makes me hard. I get where Josh is going with the money. For me, it makes it hard on me.
I agree. I looked at the total, and I was like, hey, that feels a little light with these two at 50 and a half. But you go take a look at just 28 points per for Louisiana. I think you nailed it there, Michael. I expect a little bit more efficiency offensively from Louisiana. Okay, when we come back, let's get into Illinois and Wisconsin. Remember, Wisconsin and Jack Cohn, he's hurt. So new quarterback in for Wisconsin. Illinois beat Wisconsin last year, so a bit of a revenge angle. Plus, game three of the World Series, and Josh has some line moves in the NFL we want to touch on as well. The Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Okay, if you need to hire, you need Indeed. You instantly get a list of quality candidates from Indeed's resume database the moment you sponsor a job. Get started at Indeed.com/credit. It's always showtime at BetMGM. So here's the deal. It's risk-free, up to $500. VSiN 500 is the code. Simply sign up and bet with complete confidence and take advantage of this offer. Start turning big plays into paydays. Discover why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. We talk about it all the time because it's the best. VSiN 500 is the code to get back up to $500 in free bets on your first wager. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years or older, Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Colorado, Nevada, 1-800-522-4700. Gambler in New Jersey and West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER, that is. And also, if you know somebody that has a gambling problem, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. We welcome you back. I'm Patrick. He's Michael Lombardi, of course. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, Patrick.
Yes, sir.
Joe Mixon's been ruled out for Sunday.
Okay.
Which I think is significant. I think that's somewhat significant.
Why is he ruled out? I haven't seen anything. Have you?
I he's had this chest injury, and they kept, you know, you run behind that line, you're going to get hurt too.
That's a good point.
He gets a Purple Heart. I mean, he gets a Purple Heart for running behind that bad line. I mean, it's really remarkable, but he's out. And I know this is one of the, and we have Josh here. This is one of the Sharpies that the cheese, they love the Cincinnati one here. They love it. You know, this is one of those where everybody's all over it. And, you know, I have this as a 4.5-point line. The line's, what, at 3, Josh, now? And it seems the money moving in here?
Yeah, you're exactly right, Michael. So the Bengals would match as kind of a value play this weekend. So you have first right off the bat, divisional game. Remember, divisional games, you automatically have a little bit of a lean here, edge play to a dog, familiarity we saw with the Giants game. But Cleveland open as around a 4-point favorite. They're getting about 2/3 of the bets. This line is now down to 3. Now, the difference here to me is with the Bengals, the key was getting them with the hook with the 3.5. And as you mentioned, Michael, getting that news with Mixon being out here, the juice was kind of 3 painted, as you say, Patrick, -110 both sides. Now we're starting to see it juice up a little bit toward the Cleveland side, which tells me it may go to 3.5. So if you like the Bengals here, which I do think they have a lot of value, contrarian, divisional dog, kind of a short dog at home situation, I would wait it out because you can probably get a 3.5 based on this injury here to Mixon.
Okay, but I'll go the other way then, Michael, and throw it at you. Dunlap's not practicing. We know Geno Atkins. So the one way to beat, obviously, Baker and the Browns, we've seen the formula with Baltimore and Pittsburgh this year. Just pressure him. And I don't think Cincinnati's going to be able to pressure him. So I would lean Cleveland as that number. I mean, you tell me.
I don't either. I'm with you, Patrick. From a film observation, Cleveland's the better team. Now, here's the issue. Cleveland's defense has given up over 30 points in every game they've played. You know, they don't slow anybody down. There's a perception about Myles Garrett, and he's outstanding. And Olivier Vernon coming off the edge, but they are a liability on defense. They made the Bengals' offense look really good when we had them on the first Thursday night game of the season. So that's somewhat concerning to me, is when you're risking Cleveland against a team that you know their defense isn't very good, you're going to they're always going to be in the game somehow, some way. The Mixon injury, to me, I was confused all year how they play Mixon. You know, they can't really run the ball effectively. He needs to be the focal point, but because the line's so bad, they really can't. And if they get behind in a game, he can still catch the ball in the backfield, but they have Giannardo Bernard to use that role. So, you know, I don't know if this injury is going to affect the line at all, but it's going to pique my interest to talk about Cleveland on a bet.
Okay, so if you're just joining us, great job, Michael Lombardi. Breaking news here on the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. It is VSiN, the sports betting network. Of course, Michael tells us that Joe Mixon is out this Sunday hosting the Cleveland Browns. That's huge as that number continues to go Cincy's way. We'll see if it reverses. Let's get into a little college. Illinois at Wisconsin. Remember, a little bit of a revenge spot. Illinois beat Wisconsin 24-23 last year. But here's the deal. The Badgers are starting out on a whole new level offensively. Jonathan Taylor's gone. Cephas is gone. Offensive line is still being settled. Jack Cohn is hurt, so Graham Mertz is going to get the start at quarterback here, Michael. Now, front seven wise, Wisconsin is going to cause all type of issues for Illinois, but this does feel like, you know what, Josh, I'll start with you and get Michael's take. It's a lot. That's a lot of points to be laying there.
Yeah, this is intriguing to me, Patrick. I mean, just based on the way the line has moved, you know, Wisconsin opened early around minus 19, and they did get a lot of money early. So they were minus 19. They got all the way up to minus 21. And we all know, you know, 21 is a key number here betting on, you know, field goals and touchdowns. So when it got to 21, that's when you saw some buybacks show up on Illinois plus 21, bringing it back down to 20.5. I'm seeing some shops that are even down to 20. So I think the number one play there would have been Illinois getting the 21. But even now, you know, Illinois is an unranked team versus a ranked opponent. It's a conference type game. And we have seen Lovie Smith, you know, pull off these upsets and keep it close. But Michael, what's your take on here? Is it a big line for a reason, or do you think Illinois can keep it within three scores?
You know, what I try to do, and again, without the advantage of any of these, what we would call preseason games, when Wisconsin plays Fresno State or they go out of conference, you always look at to see where is most of their players, what years are they playing? And when you look, like Patrick said, the offensive line's new, but all of these offensive linemen, whether it's, you know, Vander Landen or Schnetzler, you know, all these guys are juniors and seniors. They have no real youth on their offense, only the quarterback. You know, Mertz is a redshirt freshman. So they've got a lot of experience. And, you know, can Mason Stoke, can he handle the running back job? I mean, I'm sorry, can Garrett Grosick handle the running back job? We'll see. I'm sure they've got some talent. So that's what always concerns me. And I like, you know, what I like is I like Jimmy Leonard's defense. I like the way he calls defense. I like the way he attacks. I like the way he gets after people. And for me, always, Illinois is one of those programs where once they have a little bit of a rise, they don't have enough great recruiting to keep it going. I think that would be a downcline.
Yeah, the Wisconsin defense is going to be a strength, specifically up front. I agree with you there. Okay, let's quickly touch on game three, a tremendous pitching matchup. We'll get the number up here as far as the World Series is concerned. Of course, you've got Morton and Buehler. Wow, that's come down since I walked in the door here at the South Point. It was one.
You know, Patrick, every time you say Buehler, I think of the guy in the classroom waiting for Ferris Buehler to come out. Buehler, is he here? Like, every time you say that, I reminisce about Ferris Buehler's days off. I mean, keep saying it, and it's enjoyable.
I'm not a big movie guy. That is a classic. That's a classic.
Yeah, that is a classic. It is. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Buehler. Now, I walked in, and Buehler and the Dodgers were 150. It's down to 145. Morton's been awesome. This is a tremendous pitch. I think a combined 1-3 for the two in the postseason here, Josh, and a low total 7.5.
Yeah, Patrick, if you're looking to sweat a kind of a bold dog play tonight, I think the Rays have a lot of value. You mentioned, you know, the Dodgers, they're a public play tonight. Obviously, you had game one, the Dodgers won. Then the Rays came back game two. Series is now tied. You know, the updated series price here is pretty much where it was when it started. It's back to around Dodgers minus 200 and Rays around plus 165. What we're seeing here, Patrick, is that the public just says, give me the Dodgers. They're a great team. They're off a loss. They got to bounce back and take this series lead back 2-1. So this line did open at around, you know, depending on what book you're looking at, Dodgers around minus 155, minus 160. And they're getting about two thirds of the bets. Public is on them. However, this line has moved 10 cents, 15 cents toward the Tampa Bay Rays. That tells me that the Rays took in some smart money. You had value-minded bettors kind of say, okay, I'm getting Tampa Bay. Maybe this line is a little bit high to begin with. So it looks like there is a move here on the Rays. Another system I like in the playoffs is when you have a dog off a win, because the preconceived notion here is a dog gets lucky last game, they got to lose the next game. But that's kind of gambler's fallacy, and dog off a win momentum in the playoffs does tend to do well. It's only about 50%, but you're getting plus money here. So a little move to Tampa Bay. Then also, Patrick, I know you're a guy who likes to sweat a bold under here. Public's going over. The World Series overs have all been hitting. They're 18-12, I believe, since 2015. But this total opened at 8. It's down to 7.5. Some shops are even juicing up the under 7.5 here, Patrick. So a lot of liability to the under. You have a good under ump today, and the wind is blowing in at the Texas Rangers Stadium. So a little move to the Rays, little liability under.
This under is bolder than that shave this morning from you, Josh Applebaum. And I am going to be, and by the way, the series has reset. And you know this, Josh, tied up at ones. It's now back to the Dodgers laying 200 on the series. So that's where it started. Actually, a little bit below, because I think the Dodgers got up to 210, 220 at a couple of books. So it evened out. You know, we've got ourselves a series. Now, Josh, I know there's a couple games as far as line movement you wanted to touch on in the pros. And one of them is San Francisco and New England. Go ahead. We'll get Michael's take.
Yeah. I want to get Michael's take here because this is really intriguing to me. You know, you had the Patriots open around a 3-point favorite at home. Some of the look ads were even Patriots -5.5. Tickets are split. Public says, man, I love Belichick in a bounce back spot. This is a get right spot. They're finally practicing, but the Patriots open -3. The line got down to 2.5. And I was really expecting Sharps to hit the Pats and bring it back up to 3. We've seen the exact opposite happen. When it was at 2.5, it fell further down to Patriots -2. This tells me you got a lot of smart money here coming in on the San Francisco 49ers. You also look at Jimmy G as a dog. He's covered the number as a dog, 10-3 ATS so far. This would also match the systems that match with the Giants, a COVID road move and also a short road dog, 6 or less. But Michael Lombardi, what's your take on the Pats here? Do you like buying low on this -2 now, or are you worried because that's indicative of Sharps grabbing San Fran?
No, I mean, the matchup for me is pretty simple. The New England Patriots, with Josh McDaniels calling plays, have always attacked the Seattle style of defense a la Pete Carroll and have had great success. Just go back and watch the Seattle game this year up where Cam Newton played his best game. I think too much is being made. They didn't practice. And I think they'll practice this week. I think the Patriots offensive line will come back together. I think you could attack the San Francisco defense. Remember, the Eagles beat them. And you could attack the secondary if you block the front, which I think they will. I think this will be the Patriots' best game of the year. They'll understand, Bill will understand how to attack Kyle Shanahan, force the game to a drop-back pass game. I like New England. I think New England will come back. I think we're making way too much. They didn't practice. They've had a tumultuous couple of weeks. I still think they're a good team. I think Cam will play his best game of the year.
The three of us are going to be here Saturday and Sunday, 10 Eastern time, Michael Lombardi and Josh Applebaum.
With Mike Palm. Don't forget, include Mike Palm on both days.
How could I forget? The campaign continues here on the Lombardi line. Josh will be there as well. Check out the podcast, Market Insights, of course, GM Shuffle as well. Fellas, have a great day. Have a great Friday.
Thanks,
see you
Patrick.
Tomorrow morning,
see you
Patrick. Bright and early.
The Edge is coming up next.
Bye-bye.
It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.